Excellent.
Thank God for that.
Yes, we're recording the voice so that we can go back and listen when we need some upliftment and encouragement. And tonight I'm focusing on weight and hope. So what I'm going to draw your attention to is, good evening, Howard. We've just started.
Yeah, good evening.
So tonight we're looking on weight and hope. And so what I want to draw your attention to, and you can go back and look on it. This is actually one of my favorite hymns. You know, you kind of stick to the hymns that your parents and your grandparents used to sing and hum around the house, and you hear them all the time just singing it. And you always think, why are they humming these songs? But when you get older, I tell you, it's those hymns you start humming as well. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, same hymns you start humming. So I'm going to draw your attention to hymn number 477. And it says, come, come he discounselet. I tell you, man, that song, it's about pouring out your heart to Jesus. 1 minute, I'm just going to wait as this person comes in. Hello, who is iPhone?
That's me.
Me who?
Steve McKenzie.
Hello, Steve. Okay, we've just started. All right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Steve. So, so tonight we're looking on the title of Weight and Hope. And so I'm just pointing you to the hymn 477, Come He Disconsolate. And the words of this song is about pouring out our hearts to Jesus. And it says, come He Disconsolate. And that word disconsolate, it means sad, unhappy, you know, disappointed, crushed, discouraged. And I'm sure we can all resonate with those words. We've all been through that. It says, come He Disconsolate, wherever you languish, come to the mercy seat and fervently kneel. It's about that falling at Jesus's feet. This is the image it's giving you. Here, bring your wounded hearts. Here, tell your anguish. Tell of the things that are on your heart and what is really keeping you feeling disappointed and crushed. And it says, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And just that last line, what it's telling us is there's nothing we can go through on this planet that heaven cannot look down and sort out for us. And so tonight I'm going to ask that we can share our testimonies about waiting and on God and coming to Him fervently with our anguished hearts and knowing that there's nothing on earth that heaven cannot heal. So I had a situation around this time last year, actually, and it kind of put a strain on my relationship with God because I couldn't see how He would work it out for me, you know? So there was a lot of tears. There was a lot of anguished prayers. I mean, sometimes not even words. It was just bawling out. And it was followed by moments of just being still and waiting. So I want to encourage you this evening with the words in Psalms 130 verse 5. And it says, it's a very short verse, but it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in the word, in His word, I hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have an easy time waiting on God. And I'm being very honest with you because I am very impatient. And if I want something, I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to experience it now. I don't know how to wait for it, especially when I feel like things are out of my control, you know, because sometimes you feel like you want to fix it yourself and you think you're, you know, your only, when you think about it, my only encouragement could come from God about waiting. And you can find it here in this verse about waiting for God. Now, waiting is not an unfamiliar feeling to anyone, especially in a fallen world that we live in, where things don't always work out how we want them to. And even if it turns out good, the waiting is really difficult, isn't it? Now, that passage, the Hebrew word for wait is giota. I want to pronounce this. Kiyita. And what it means is it means to endure, to remain. And that is difficult to do, to remain, because what it's saying is that we've got to stay, we've got to remain, we've got to wait in the situation that we are in. But what is interesting about this hope, about this kind of wait, it talks about there is an expected hope to the wait, that something good will happen at the end, which is fantastic. It not just says, wait for God. What it says is that there's an expected wait. So you know something is coming at the end of it. And the other word it uses in this passage, when it talks about hope, the word is called ho-hal-ti. And it means to be patient, to hope. And surprisingly, that same word means to wait. So the words are meshed together. So it's not just about waiting, but what it's saying is be patient for the expected end, which is just fantastic. So because there's some wonderful passage that tells us how we should hold on in hope for God. And in Romans 12, verse 12, it talks about rejoicing in hope. And again, it uses that word, be patient in the tribulation and be constant in our prayer. We also think about Psalms 27, verse 14, where it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. But remember what I said to you about that wait, that word wait, it means you're going to get an expected end. And we think about 2 Peter 3, verse 9, which is another wonderful passage that I always hold on to, where it talks about the Lord is not slow concerning his promises. You know, but it's because he wants to save us. That's why he takes his time to do something. Now, in a world where we thrive on, you know, immediate gratification, especially in social media, if you want something, you get it right now. Waiting kind of, it can seem countercultural to how we are, against the very nature that we've set for ourselves. But yet, the waiting is such a huge part of the Christian journey. We all, in some ways, you know, we've spent time waiting. We've spent time waiting for an answer, waiting for directions, waiting for a sign from God. And if we're honest, sometimes we don't see God coming through, especially when we don't see him come through the way we want him to come through. You know, and there are times when we feel like the answers that we should be getting is unanswered.
Could you stop, please?
And in that instance, when we pray for the healing of a loved one, that sometimes, you know, sometimes one loved one will get healed, and another loved one will not get healed. And in those times, we don't always understand why God is telling us to wait. You know, our loved one get ill and we don't have to wait. They get healed straight away. And another time, someone else get ill and we pray for them. But God is saying, no, 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 you're going to wait and you're going to see that loved one in the great get not mourning. So it's really difficult to wait in that. So the only conclusion that I could come to, what is that the waiting makes us stronger. The waiting, it makes us worship. Worship God for who he is, regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether or not he answers our prayers the way we think he should. but yet still knowing that worship is the best response to waiting. It doesn't make it easier. But I know this. Worship, it properly directs our focus. And it helps us to get us to look on God and to see his power and his might instead of illuminating this long road uncertain ahead of us. Worship helps us to trust that he is working while we wait. You see, because God is faithful every day and his promises, they remain. And one of these promises I know we know like the back of our hands is Jeremiah 29 verse 10, where it says, God knows the plans he has for us. And in 1 Peter 5 verse 10, it also says that after we've suffered a little while, he will restore us. He will make us strong and firm and steadfast. So I know that in time, I actually saw my miracle in that waiting. And you too, if you are waiting for an answer in the meantime, let us just pour our energy into worshiping the miracle maker, because he is working all things together for them that love him. So I'll share my testimony with you. And I hope that others will share their testimony about waiting for God. And, you know, they may not have seen the answer yet, but what have they done in the meantime to just hold on to God? Have they worshipped him in the meantime? So my testimony comes from studying. And last year around this time, I was looking to finish the end of my last semester. And at that time, I had just returned from work and I didn't see how God was going to provide for me to be in work full time and study my master's full time, because they were saying that I had to be on campus. How was I going to do that? How was I going to be on campus and work full time? And I prayed. And when I say I prayed hard. And I cried and I said, Lord, you're going to have to come through, because how am I going to leave my job to study full time? Who's going to keep a roof over my head and my child's head? Because it's not just about me. It's about providing for my child. So I didn't see how God was going to make that happen. I love God and I know he's bigger than my thoughts. But sometimes you can't fathom how he's going to work things out, you know? And I cried day and night. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me, because I cannot leave my job. And it didn't help that others who had studied and had been through the same thing as I was going through were telling me, well, you know, Nicole, I had to leave my job. And I had to, and I was just like, well, Lord, if that is it, I have to leave studying, because what am I going to do? And it just so happened that after praying and crying for about 3 months, I have my uncle who prays with me constantly. And after all of that, he said, Nicole, we're just going to have to wait now. We just have to wait. We have done all that we can do and we have to let the Lord come through. We have to wait. And I went to college not knowing if I, one, had the money, but I was going anyway to register. Not knowing if I could get on a course, because I can't be on campus full time. I physically cannot be on campus. And I went there and they registered me and signed me off financially, although there was no money in the bank. And I went and I sat with my lecturer and I said, I can't be here full time. And he said, don't worry, Nicole, we'll sort you out. Oh, really? I walked out of that place praising God, because I didn't see how he was going to work it out for me. And at the time, my manager had said she was not going to allow anyone to work from home. And that working from home was essential to me, because that was the time I used to physically go to college. So the prayer was not fully answered. I went back into work after my annual leave. And I sat down with my manager and I said nothing. I didn't ask him for time off or anything. And it just so happened a new manager came in and he sat us down and said, oh, if you need to work from home, that's okay. Just put it in my diary. I went to the toilet and I broke down. I said, Lord, I was speechless. I said, I don't know what to tell you. At this point, I don't know what to tell you because you knew the situation I was in and you worked it out for me. But in that moment, those 3 months of crying and not knowing what was going to happen, it was anguish. It was absolutely anguish. And that waiting, all I could do was look up to God. I couldn't look to anybody else because who else was going to help me? Nobody else. And in that moment of waiting, the only thing we can look up and search for God for the answers. So that's why I pointed you to this hymn with the last sentence that says, earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. So if anyone would like to share their testimony about waiting on God, now is your time. Did God answer your prayer? When that moment of waiting, what did you do? Did you worship? Did you pray? Howard, did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I was just saying to you that I've learned that the text that keep me going in everything is while you're praying, I've already answered. So I when you speak, that was the one that come back. That's the one come to me all the time these days. When by the time I say, Lord, he's already answering. I might not like or see the answer, but whatever the answer is, if you wait after that, you'll see it works in your favor. It never works against you. The answer of Christ for his children never work against you. That's what I was saying with that, actually.
The other thing is that sometimes prayers are answered, but not necessarily the way you want them to be answered. So sometimes you pray for something and it's answered in a way that you don't really want, but you know that's the best way that God wants you to that's the best outcome that God wants for you. And this week I was listening to a sermon by Henry Wright. It was one of the mornings on Adventist Radio. They have a sermon about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was telling a story about his son. His son had gone to war. And I can't remember, it was one of the Gulf Wars or Desert War, one of those wars. And when he went there, he just saw some really horrible things. And one of them was that he saw his best friend being blown in half and killed. And it really, really affected him. And when he came back from the war, he was not the same person. He started to drink, wasn't very happy. Pastor said that he'd kept him at home so they can keep an eye on him and everything, but he wasn't doing very good at all. And all they did was pray. They kept on praying, they kept on praying, they kept on praying. And they wasn't seeing any results at all. But they knew they had to keep on praying. And then the story goes on that the son, one day when Pastor Henry Wright was preaching, came down the aisle of the church and gave his life to God. And then a week afterwards, Henry Wright was at home and there was a knock on the door. And when he opened it, was the police. The police had told him that his son had died in a car crash. And of course, the family was devastated. But then when he was talking, he was saying that sometimes prayers come in a way that you don't expect, but it's always for the best reasons. And he doesn't know what that reason was for his son. It could possibly have been because his son may have gone back on on his commitment and God decided to take him there to save him. He doesn't know what it is, but he knows for sure it was the right thing that had happened because God always knows best. So we must always be very, very aware when we're praying for something. That it's not, if you're praying for a car, God may not give you a car, he might give you a bike. You know, that may be the best thing for you. And you just have to accept it because he knows best. He knows the future. He knows that light at the end of the tunnel. And he knows what's going to happen. So you've got to be aware of that.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Lorraine.
Hello, good evening. She's on mute, she's saying something.
Can't hear you, Nicole, you're on mute. Can't hear a word. Not what, can see your mic moving.
I was just saying, for those who have just come in, we're looking at wait and hope tonight. And we looked at where our passage of focus is Psalm 130. Verse 5, and our focus hymn was also 477, Come He Disconsolate. Go ahead, please, Lorraine.
Oh, good evening, everyone. I was just listening to your testimony, Nicole, and I was just like, why are we sitting here, you know? So somber. I really wanted to jump up and say,
hey, I was in the bathroom jumping up at work. This testimony, I only told you a portion of it. It is so big that it had me crying because you see God in those moments. You're thinking, Lord, why do I put you in a box? What, like, it was so much bigger. I was in the bathroom at work just crying because God showed me who he was. Mm-hmm. And you get angry with yourself because you're thinking, man, I'm disappointing you here because mm-hmm. I know you're bigger than this, you know, and I just get sad and weary and, you know.
yeah, I totally understand. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just wanted to just salute him and, mm-hmm. you know, even, you know, Jen, I'm not liking the idea of a bike, you know. I'm not like, but as you know, Jen,
it might be the best thing for you.
I'm gonna
give me a push bike, you know, it's gonna be the motorbike.
Oh, so you know, this waiting business is really extremely hard, you know, and it's like, you know, you know, I'm waiting for something, for God to answer a prayer that I feel, well, not that I feel, I know I've been praying for about 30 years, you know. And a few weeks ago, it's like the Spirit just said, leave it at the throne. I'm like, what do you mean leave it at the throne? You know, because I thought I had it at the throne, you know. Maybe I was just picking it up and putting it down and putting it down and picking it up. And so now I've had to just place it there.
Yes.
And it's an exercise of absolute trust. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it pops up in my head and I have to just say, I've left it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And just leave it there because, you know, you're just going back and forth and there's an aspect of trust, you mm-hmm. know? That's the bit, maybe, Nicole, where your uncle was saying, just leave it there.
Yes, this is it. This is it. Because in that, the thing is, if I could just add to your point, Lorraine, if we think about the story of Jehoshaphat, where he prayed to God and, you know, the choir members came in and sing. And after that, God told him, stand still now. You know, wait, this is my turn now. This is my turn. So, you know, sometimes, and I think that's why the Spirit was saying to you, Lorraine, leave it there. Because we like, bend down. Let me just pick this one up back for you, Jesus. Maybe you can't handle this one. You know, we do that subconsciously. Let me just hold it for you because maybe you can't handle this one. Yeah. And, and that stand still is, it gives us this connotation of let it go.
Yeah.
Give God the opportunity. This is his mm-hmm. turn now. You know what I mean? This is his turn to do what he needs to do. And it's difficult to do that because we think we know best.
Of course.
Yes. We think we know best. And like I was saying, we put God in this box. Like, no, no, he will only be able to do what we think he'll be able to do. But I tell you, God is God of the beyond the impossible. And sometimes he just wants to show off, you know. So let him do it. Let go on, you know, leave it to him. Let God show his full power. He's got so much to show us, but we limit him. We absolutely limit him. Howard, I see your hand. I am coming to you. Just unmute yourself. I don't think. Yeah, there we go.
11 years ago, I said to, well, let's go back. 11 and 15 years ago, I said to the Lord, I'm taking a break. Mm-hmm. I was in church one Sabbath and I got a letter which tells me I'm being divorced. Long and short. And I just, you know, I got it in church because my stepfather-in-law brought it to me at church because he knew where I was. Mm-hmm. And he gave it to me. I opened it. I thought it was just a letter he was giving me. So I said, let me open it to see if I need to tell him anything before he drives away because I'm not going to it out. Mm-hmm. Opened it, and that was what he said. And I folded it up back and I gave it back to him. I said, you can take this back to whoever send it to you. Send it back to them. Mm-hmm. And I made a deal with God. I said, listen, God, I don't know what you're doing, you know, and what you're playing around with. I didn't ask to come here. I was told, go there and see what it is. The military says, this is it. It will be good. Mm-hmm. I came, and now this is what you're offering me.
Yes.
And I thought, And I took 4 years out of that 15 years to just say, Lord, I'm not talking to any female in that sense of wanting to be with, have a family. I just leave it. But then one day, that urge came that I need to talk to somebody. So I said, okay, let me try and find myself somebody I'd like to talk to. And there was a lot of ladies in my church, Greenwich. Oh, lovely ladies. But none of them strike me as somebody I want to talk to. So I went.
Wilma.
Yeah, she's right there. You can tell what you want to tell her. I went to the internet and I said, I'm going to look for somebody on one of these sites that they have up. Long and short is, I went. And one day I saw a picture and I sent a message to the picture and the person didn't respond. Whoa, yeah, I like this girl, but she's not responding. Send her another message, she didn't respond. Send her another message. And I got to the point where I said, if she don't answer me this evening, I'm not going to pay her any mind. Mm-hmm. And I was challenging God because I had a deal with him that in less than 3 months, I need to find somebody that I'm interested in. This was a year and plus. So I thought, yeah, you're not listening to me. You forget about what I've asked you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that picture came up and that picture keeps nagging me. It keeps saying, that's a lovely lady. And I eventually sent it. And the night when I wrote a message, oh, well, you know, since you didn't answer me, it's all right, thank you. Then I go, oops, I answered you. Didn't you see my message? And I look, I couldn't find a message. But she did answer me. What she did, where I look for the message, I'm not computer skillful like them, so where I look for the message wasn't there. But where she told me to look for the message was very much there.
Yes.
And long and short is, it's now 11 years since we've been married.
Amen.
Although you ask God for something, do not expect it to be easy.
Yes.
Do not expect it to come your way.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely lady, I'm happy. Yeah. But there comes a time when you have to say to God, this is not what I really asked you for, you know.
Yeah.
You know what that process? You're still telling God, this is not what they asked you for. But then God goes back and something happens in that, she might do something for you or say something that catch yourself. You know what? God and I had a discussion last week, 2 weeks ago, when COVID lockdown came in. Say, God, you are smarter than anybody else I've ever known. You're brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know what he said? Now you want to be locked down. Who do you want to be locked down with?
Certainly
her. Because there's not a pressure. There's not, okay, you need to get up and do something. You need to do this, mm-hmm. do that. I just move at my own pace. When I get bored, I just say, I'm going outside. You know, people, you're in a situation where, oh, you can't do this, you can't. No, I don't have that. Yeah. And I'm happy because in a lockdown like this, I would get fed up. I would get angry. I'd be upset. But I'm just happy going about my business. And I look at that and I say, you know, these might look simple. We don't see these things as important because it's there. We're in a relationship. It's going on. It's not perfect. But guess what happened? I'm happy for this one. Because at the point in time when I look at it, I just sometimes want to lay down from 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock. Don't bother me. I will get up when I want to get up. And I do what I want to do. I want to do it. But you know something? She's never say to me, oh, are you getting up this morning? The only time she look at, if she see me look like I'm not well, she might say, are you well? I say, yes. Argument done. So I thank God for, I waited for a year and plus. Yeah. Until I get fed up with God as well, because I was saying, hey, I'm going to do my own thing.
Yes.
And at that time, that last minute when I was going to do my own thing, he put somebody on that site that I... And you know the thing about it, long and short, is yes. I didn't know she was an Adventist. She never put anything like that. So when I told her I was a Seventh-day Adventist and I'm just coming from church, mm-hmm. she told me she was a Seventh-day Adventist and she was just coming from church. And yes. she goes to Wilmington. Mm-hmm. You see how God works?
Yeah.
So now I don't have to go and convert her to come to church. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell her that it's Sabbath. I don't have to tell her what the Sabbath is about. All of these things, which was in my head as a problem, if I meet somebody who is not a Christian mm-hmm. or who is from another faith. So we say, oh, am I going to convince him? Because they might want to think me to go to Sunday church. And I'm not. But, you know, and this is what God did. God says, I'm going to show you how perfect I am. I will give you somebody that you don't need to do anything to at all. And also that is not new in the faith. She's versed on what the word is. Mm. So you don't need to worry about socializing and doing all of that. She's ready. And I just say that that's my testimony. I've waited. He answered when I almost lost my patience. You know? That patient thing is a difficult one because mm. it's not easy when you're looking at yeah. the picture and see the end result.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. If you can see the end result, you can wait.
Absolutely.
But if you can't see the end result, and worse, you're not hearing anything to support the end result, it makes it hard.
Thank you. For those who have just come in, we are looking on waiting and hoping in God tonight. And our passage of focus is Psalm 130, verse 5. Where it talks about us waiting on the Lord, but we are waiting in that hope. Winston, can I just ask who is 9X4RHB? Who is that? Is that? And again? Hello? Don't know if they're hearing. Okay, Winston, go ahead. On tap, Winston. Yes, no, and again, there we are. Oh, no, there we are. Yeah.
Yeah, Donna, I think Donna had her hand up, but I was just going to say.
Oh, Donna, just, yes, 1 minute, please. Winston, you've gone?
No, hang on.
Yeah.
There
anyway, we are. Yeah.
I was just going to say quickly, but I thought Donna had her hand up. I was just going to say to Howard, so you say all this time you've been praying and waiting, God was preparing your answer long before you know.
Yeah, he was preparing it, indeed. Yeah,
long before.
But when we can't see it, it's difficult, isn't it?
Before he even see the problem, he had the answer preparing for him already.
Yeah, thank you, Winston. Donna, please, just tap on mute.
Oh, because it's on mute.
But I think you're talking about waiting and listening to your testimonies. I mean, it makes me smile listening to Howard and everything.
Hmm.
But then the thing is, we have to think about why is it that we limit? Because our mind is limited.
It is, yeah.
Right? And I think sometimes we know what we want. We have it in our head, like Howard said, you know, what he wants. But, and at the end of the day, like Jennifer said, sometimes we may ask for something and... but it's something else that we're given. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you're in this situation, and as Harry said, you can't see the end, but you're thinking, well, this is what I want, God. You know what I mean? So if you're not doing it as I want, then as you said, Nicole, let me just take this one back.
Yeah, let me just take this back.
You know, let me just kind of ease what you need to do for me.
Yeah.
But I think it just comes down to, from experiences that I've had, and I've seen how God has worked. And I think the biggest one for me will always be talking about my son and the challenges I faced when he was younger. But I saw how God worked. Because you're talking about work. Now, my workplace, it was like, you know, because Daniel was in different school and not in school, and all different stuff was going on. But I had a manager at the time. I remember I went to her and I said, look, Monica, this is the situation. And she's like, okay, no problem. You know, you can work 2 to 8. Now, my working hours is 9 to 5. And she changed it so I didn't have to lose no money.
Wow.
The boss that I worked for, he was on it. That's fine. What I'm saying, everybody was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Where I'm there, concerned and fretting. Well, I can't afford to lose no money. It's one salary coming in the house. I have bills.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? And I'm thinking to myself, but I need to also look after my son. How am I going to do this? But he placed significant people at particular times, I have to say it like that, in how it worked. From when I think about all the help that I got back then, and sometimes I look and I just think to myself, you know what, God? My mind is too small to understand the magnitude of what you can do and what you have prepared.
That's right.
Before I've come to you.
That's right.
You know, so when I was talking, people talk about, you know, the waiting though, it is a wait. Because I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, enough time when I speak to Mrs. Whitehead, when I speak to Lorraine, and they're saying, the challenge, I want to kill him. I'm being honest.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a long way. And when I look to where I am now, I have to give God the thanks and the praise, because I'm telling you, only he could have made things the way it is.
Yes.
And only I can now smile and say, why? That was a good 13 years. You understand what I'm saying? 13 years. And you're just like, but you know, when I thank God for my mom, I thank God for Charlie Payton, there's so many names for Yvette. Everybody was placed strategic times along the journey. And even though I didn't even have to ask. So that's what I'm saying, you know, that's the reason why now, even sometimes, you know, as Howard said, because you can't see what's at the end.
Yeah.
But my thing is, don't get me wrong, because we're still human, and I'm like, well, if I do that, is that going to work though? But I have to learn to trust.
Yeah.
And I know I've been through an experience where he's brought me through, like I said, something huge. It was huge. But everybody was placed there to help. So I just think sometimes I can't limit God. My mind is limited.
Yeah.
But God isn't. So the way is, however long he's saying, Donna, you have to wait for this amount of time and you shall see my glory. You shall see the goodness. That's why Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have. Yes. And everything that we do, it builds you.
Yes.
It makes you stronger.
Yes.
Because my mom knows many a time we'd be in the house and I'm bawling. You know what I mean? But then you just get through it. You get through it. And all because, and I always say to people, you know, one thing I find, having somebody that you believe in, can often people be like, but you don't see God. How you know he's there? You know, it's not something you can look at. It's not tangible. But I said, knowing I have something else, even if I'm not going to believe 100%, there's a thought, there's somebody there that is helping. Because of the miracles you see going in your life, which, you know, no human can do. No human can make things happen the way it is. So you know what? Waiting is hard.
It is
hard, because if we think about, well, this is what I want and I want it now, and God says no, you might get it in 10 years' time. But when you think back and you think, but it has been answered. It was just, because I mean, at the end of the day, what's a day to God? What's 10 years to God? You understand what I'm saying? So, so that was my wait experience.
Thank you so much. I'm going to throw a question out there. Because we limit God, like it's been said in the group. Do you think we could accomplish, or we could have gotten, and probably that's the wrong way of saying it, do you think we could have had more in our lives if we had just said, you know what, Lord, do your thing? Can you imagine what we could have had? Because I'm a helper. I tell you, like, I will help the Lord. You need it. Let me just help you. Right? But can you imagine if we just left him to it? It tells us that God can do above what we could ask or think. Can you imagine the things he could do for us if we just laid it and leave it there?
Howard, can I give another testimony?
Please, Jennifer, then Howard. I see your hand, Howard.
It happened years ago.
Sorry, can I just cut you, Jennifer, one second? Jacqueline?
Yep. Hi.
Who's Jacqueline?
From church.
Jackie Payton?
No, Jacqueline Sultan.
Jacqueline Sultan.
Hello, Jackie.
Oh, my dad. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. We're talking about God tonight, Jacqueline.
Who was that lady just now? I know her, but
which one?
The one that was on just now. I don't know what her name is. Oh,
which one? Who was just talking?
She had her hearing like two twists.
Who's got two?
That's me.
Oh. Oh, it's it's oh my days. Do you see who it is, Jackie?
I see who it is. I know who she is.
It's Sharon.
Oh, is it Sharon? I don't know what her name is.
Oh, Sharon. Welcome, Jackie. We're talking about waiting and hoping in God tonight.
Thank you.
I hope it uplifts you. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, it happened probably when Simeon was born, so about 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my mum kept on fainting, and she was really feeling really, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept on fainting, but she said, I'm not going to the doctors, because when you go to the doctors, you go for one thing and you come back with 10 things. So she said she wasn't going. So me and my sister saying, how are we going to get her to the doctors and everything? And, you know, we knew it was going to have problems with that. And we didn't want to worry her too much, because she's, you know, gets a bit stressed and she'll get a bit worried. So we thought, now, how are we going to do this? Anyway, she'd fainted. And the next day I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to go to the doctor. And I'm going to say to the doctor, my mum keeps fainting. She won't come to you. Will you go to her? And so after work the next day, I was on the bus and it was pouring down with rain. I'm talking about torrential rain. It was really, really bad. So I thought to myself, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to the doctor today. I'll go tomorrow because it's raining too much. So when it got to the bus stop where I would get off for the doctors, I allowed that to go past. And I really felt this pressure on my back. It was, you know, we had prayed. I'd prayed for, you know, for my mum to go and see the doctors. I had prayed for the answer and please allow her to, you know, for her to see that she needs to go to the doctors and everything. But then the prayer was answered, but I wasn't listening, because when I was meant to get off that bus, I felt it very, very strong. I had to get off the bus, but because of the rain, I decided I wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed on the, went past the bus stop, and then I started feeling a real pressure on my shoulders, around my back, like I'm being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I'm at the back of the bus, I'm in the very back seat, I don't know what's happening here and everything. And I could hear the Spirit saying to me, get off the bus. But of course it's pouring down with rain and I don't want to get off the bus because I'll get really wet. But the pressure was so, it was so forceful that I had to get off the bus. So I got off the bus and then I had to walk right the way back in the pouring rain, soaking wet. And all I kept on saying, oh, then I'm going to have to wait in the doctor. Because in those days, you didn't make an appointment. You just go straight to the doctor and you wait for your turn. And I was there and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get to the doctor. I'm going to have to wait ages in the doctors. And I was just really complaining. I was complaining quite a bit. But when I got to this doctor's surgery, it was totally empty. There was nobody there. There was no patients there. So I went straight to the reception and I said to them, I need to see the doctor about my mom. And she goes, oh, yeah, fine. There's nobody here. And I went straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to the doctors, the doctor said to me, okay, I'll visit her first thing in the morning. And I remember I got a call about half an hour before I left for work from my doctor saying that they had done a blood test in the morning. And it showed that my mum was dangerously anemic, where her organs were going to start switching off, you know, and he doesn't know how she's still up and walking around. And so we need to get her to the hospital as soon as possible, and which we did. We eventually got her to the hospital, you know, made sure she was nice and calm. But then I thought to myself, he said she would not have lived if we had left it any longer.
Wow.
It's a good thing. So if I didn't, but at times you get the message, you know, the prayer is answered sometimes quicker than you expected.
Yes.
And when it is answered, sometimes we don't recognize it.
Mm.
And we're going in a different direction when it's mm-hmm. very, very clear, to the point where I'm telling you, I felt pressure on my back.
Pushing you.
Pushing me. But I had to be pushed to listen.
Mm.
And we've got to be very, very careful of that.
Mm. Thank you, Jennifer. Last one, Howard, you raised your hand?
Yeah, I was just saying that when you look at what Not but Jennifer.
Howard, just pause for a minute. If you can, you can write your prayer request in the chats. I've just started it, so you can put it there, please. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, I'm just saying, a lot of time we say, what would have happened if we let God, if we wasn't taking up by the problem every time we give it to him. But as I get older, I find that when we just leave it to God, sometimes it's not even so much of a problem, you know. It's when we make it a problem a lot of time. And what the results is because we decide what we want, and when we reach halfway down the road or three quarter way down the road, then we go back to God and say, listen, we're not mine. We have destroyed a lot of the groundwork that could have been done if we just leave it to God. So now God still says, I'm not going to change your experience. I'm going to work with you from where you come. Mm-hmm. You see, so what you find out, maybe if I had leave it to God 20 years ago, maybe I'd be different. I'd be not even living here. I might be doing something different. But because I tried to help him and tried to say, this is what I want to do, this is how I'm going to do it, not asking him, I'm telling him, then eventually he's now have to repair all the damage I've done to myself. It's like you're driving a car and you know that the car is running out of fuel, but you're still driving it on the fumes. And when the engine block goes, you say, oh, look at the cost it's going to cost me. But didn't you know that it didn't have any gas in there? Yes. But you're still running it on empty. So it's the same thing with us. We go to God. We know that we needed something from God. But what we do, we try to fix it along the way. And it's nice for us the way it's going because it suits us. Mm. And then when it runs out of steam now, then we go to God and say, listen, you was the one who caused this. You didn't listen. You weren't listening. God said, listen, I've always been here. But since you didn't give me the chance to do it, let you do it. It's like a friend comes to you and asks you for help. But after he comes to ask you for help, he's telling you what to do. If he's telling you what to do after he comes to ask you for help, then let him do it. Just let him do it because he knows what he wants.
Thank you, Howard. As we close tonight, I just want to draw our attention back to the song of Focus. So it was hymn number 477. Come ye disconsolate. Where ye languish, come to thy mercy seat and fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts. Here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. It says joy to the comfortless, light to the strain, hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, and he's tenderly saying to us, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Mm-hmm. So as we go through life, we think about a weight that we're all in right now with the coronavirus. We're just, waiting for the lockdown to be lifted, or we're waiting to go back into the office, waiting for the kids to go to school. And we know that it's something that will come to pass, things will change. And as we think about our long-term wait, about the wait and the hope that we have to see Christ Jesus once again, that may look like a much more long-term wait because we don't know when he is coming. Mm-hmm. But what the passage told us in Psalm 130, verse 5, was that we have a hope in that wait. That hope is expected, that something will happen. And so we wait and we hope and we wait on the hope through Jesus's words, the promises he gives us to keep us going in that wait, to know that he hasn't left us to our devices. When we are praying, he is hearing. He has plans for us. He's not slack. He's not slow. He just wants to take us through. He wants to save us. And so in these moments of waiting, let us focus on God. Let us continue to worship him. And let us continue to lift him up. We remember who he is. He is faithful and he is mighty. And he will take us through.
Amen.
So as we finish up tonight, we will be praying for Jennifer, who's Johnette's sister. Anyone else has any prayer requests?
Jackie,
for yourself, mm-hmm. Jackie.
Myself.
Yes. Okay.
I have a medical condition. I've got MS.
Ah, okay, Jackie. We will pray for you. I'll put that in the note, Jackie.
Denise is asking, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Sister Doily.
Denise is requesting prayer for her to complete. She's on the deadline of her uni.
Okay, right.
She's complete
studies, okay. Yeah. No problem, we will do that. Anyone else?
I just want to put our shut-ins. All of our shut-ins. There's about 15 of them, but all of them. Just put prayer for them.
Okay. Shut-ins. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Yes, and for my family as well.
And for the Smith Doily family?
Yeah.
Okay, will do. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Lorraine here.
Okay, sorry, Lorraine. Yes, go ahead.
Conversation God had with me this morning will come into fruition.
Right, okay. His God's conversation with Lorraine. Okay.
I want to put a Thanksgiving prayer in there.
Right.
For my mother-in-law, mom. And my wife. Thanksgiving prayer.
Sister Williams healing. Perfect.
Yeah. And Wilma.
And Wilma's healing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Did I? Sister Hyacinth, did you just raise your hand?
No.
Okay. Let me just give you guys a pre-warning. Don't put your hand anywhere near your face. It will flash and I will think you're trying to get to me. No movement, please. Just straight ahead. Right. Right. Okay. So we will have a season of prayer. So what I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to spend 2 minutes. We're going to pray individually. If you see the chat, you will see the prayer requests. So we'll spend 2 to 3 minutes praying individually, and we will come together. And Angela, can you give us a prayer if possible? Are you hearing us? Is she here? Angela?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Can you give us a prayer afterwards?
Okay.
Wonderful. And then I will pray. And as usual, we will finish up with let the words of our mouth. Okay. So 2 to 3 minutes, we're going to pray individually, and you'll see the prayer requests. And then we will come together. So Angela, after about 2 minutes, you can start praying.
Okay.
And then I'll pray, and then we finish up with let the words of our mouth. So let us pray. I'm so sorry to disappoint you, Lord. I'm so sorry that we don't Just bring it. You can suck that. Stuck it inside. Take it in your dark eyes. And if you give you back, remember who you are. Remember this great existence. You know what I'm not getting this day. I don't believe in you. You can suck it in your eyes.
Just want to pause a little longer just to exalt your name.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you this evening for this opportunity where we can come together using the technology that you have given men wisdom, dear Lord, to come together to worship you, to praise and magnify your name. Father, thank you for your Thank you, Father God, that you are a faithful God and that you don't forget us. Thank you that our names are written in the palms of your hands and that we are the apple of your eyes. We thank you, Lord, for every promise that you have given to us. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed to acknowledge and sometimes we rush ahead of you and trying to help you, thinking that you are forgotten, thinking that you are not capable. But Lord, we thank you for your word that reminds us that you're all powerful, you are all knowing. And so Lord, help us to know that nothing is too hard for you to do. And help us to trust you with all our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding, because most times we lean on our own understanding and then we start taking things out of your hand and start dealing with it ourselves and we still have to come back to you. So we come against every lies of the enemy and we ask, Lord, to forgive us where we have failed to listen to his lies. But Lord, help us to listen to the truth and to know that you know what's best. So Lord, even now as we separate one from another, we pray, Lord, that we will meditate upon your words and that, Lord, we will know that you are God. You are the one who is in control of our lives. You are the one who knows best. So Lord, help us to accept whatever your answer is for us and to know that you will come through. May not always be the way that we want, but Lord, help us to acknowledge that when we come to you, that we are to trust you, knowing that you know what's best. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in your word. We thank you for the testimonies that were given, Lord, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your love towards each and every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that as we go on through the rest of this week, may we stand on your promises. May we trust you and obey you. And may we know, dear Father, that you are who you say you are in our lives. So we thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. In your mighty, precious name we pray. Give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just kneel a little bit longer, Father God, to put the prayer requests before you. And we're putting them before you, Lord, because we know that you are the one who has all of this in your hands. You have time in your hands. You have our desires in your hands, Lord. And I pray, Lord, according to your will, that you will deal with them. We think of Jennifer Jonnet's sister as she embarks on her chemotherapy next week. I pray, Father God, that you will be with her. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen her through this time of medication. We think of Jackie, who is here with us, who has MS, Father God. And I just pray that you will continue to bless her and keep her. Lord, I pray that you will put a song in our heart and you will keep her uplifted. Lord, let her eyes be fixed on you, Father God. I pray for Denise, Lord, who is embarking on her studies. I pray that you will touch her mind with clarity as she soaks in that knowledge, Father God. And when it needs to be put to the test, Lord, it will come forth. I pray for all the shut-ins, Lord, within our membership, not only this membership, but other churches, other areas in the communities, Lord, as they are not able to get out. I pray that you will send ministering angels to be with them, Father God. I pray for the Smith Doyle family at this time, who is mourning, who is grieving, Lord. Lord, I just pray for your wonderful arms to be around them and to uplift them, Father God. May their hearts be lighter, Lord, as they take on your load, as they take on your yoke, because it is much lighter than our own that we put on ourselves. I pray, Lord, that they will remember, Lord, that we live with this hope, that we will see our loved ones once again, Lord. I pray for the conversation, Lord, that Lorraine has had with you today. According to your will, Lord, I pray that you will deal with it. I pray, Lord, for Sister Williams and Sister Wilma's healing, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for you just being in these situations. The ones that we haven't uttered, Lord, I thank you for being in them also. Sometimes the wait may be long, Father God, but it's a weight of expected hope, Lord. And we just place that at your feet. And we just remember the words of the song that there is nothing on earth that we are dealing with that heaven cannot heal, Lord. And we know this because we serve a mighty God. We serve a big God, bigger than what we can think, bigger than what we can imagine. Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord, when we put you in a box. And help us to remember who you are, the one that just spoke the world into existence, that brought order to chaos. And you can bring order in our lives, Lord. Help us to worship you in those moments of waiting also, Lord, to focus our eyes upon you. We just give you thanks at this time, Lord, and we just continue to praise you. I pray that you accept our worship and our praise, Lord. Be with us tonight as we sleep, Lord. Send angels to encamp around our abode and keep us safe. And may you wake us to see another day where we can lift up our hands and say thank you for the breath that you've given us. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
The words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts.
Yes.
Oh Lord, strength. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just have two announcements. We'll be back on Friday, and Sister Sonia will be leading out. Don't try it. Mm-mm. And we will be having a live divine service on Sabbath. So, you know, put on your hat, you know, dress and your makeup, and, you know, we'll be having
The hat is optional.
Oh, it's optional. But I mean, you know, if you want, put on your finest, it's up to you. Right? We'll be starting at 11 a.m. Donna has sent out the link. I'm sure she will do it again. But yes, we have a live divine service. We'll be trialing it.
Hello?
It goes well. Yes, hello?
9X4RHB.
Yes.
It's me. Good evening, everyone.
It's me.
You sound like Debbie.
Debbie, this guy.
Debbie Prince.
Right. I didn't recognize what that 9X, what is that? I don't know.
What's your
what that
name?
Is. That's not my name. My name's Debbie Prince.
I know.
You're supposed to change your name.
That's what it says.